Texas apparently have no service.
Hey, I got it working. Boston. Guess what? I can record phone calls now, too. This is great.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's working.
Well, that's good.
So we did it. Linda, how's Boston?
It's good. You're going to hear lots of beep beeps and whoosh, whoosh.
This is that theater of the mind, that deep experiential audio that everyone craves.
I know. But your voice sounds like it's coming through a gargly, like, underwater situation.
Oh, I'm a gargly underwater situation? Wait, let me try and fix that for you.
Yeah. I don't know if our listeners can hear that.
No, they can't. I'm recording the good audio. The good audio from me here.
Oh, I see.
Locally. But I don't know how to fix this for you. If I do this. Sound preferences. Input. Shure Digital. How's that sound now?
Say some stuff.
Can you hear me? Does it sound better?
Oh, it sounds great.
Hey, there we go. Got that fixed. Everything's good now.
Awesome.
You're on a street. Ooh. I'm not in a can anymore.
Thank God.
So is this you're there for your leadership conference, right?
That was last week. So last week I was in Portland for my leadership conference.
Right. Somewhere else. You're in Portland, Maine, though, right?
Portland, Maine. Uh-huh.
So what's going on in Boston?
So while I was in Portland, Maine, I was talking to my new boss, and he was talking all about the Boston office, and that's where they started, and there are all these wonderful people there. And there are a few people in particular that I want to do a lot of work with very closely. And so I was like, hey, can I just, like, go to Boston and meet them? And he's like, yeah. So here I am.
There you go. How long are you staying?
Until Friday morning. I was going to stay until Thursday, but there's this crazy storm coming in, so I figured I would leave before that happened.
That seems good, to not get stuck in a crazy
storm. Or after that happened, yeah. I'm going to get snowed in, and then I'm going to leave.
As long as you're not leaving when it's snowing. That's the only thing that matters.
I know. And 2 weeks ago, I was in Boulder, and it snowed us in while I was there. And last week, the weather was so intense in Portland that our flights were all canceled.
You're just like Storm. You just bring all the weather with you.
I am an X-Man.
Have you angered some all-powerful being that's trying to smite you down with the weather?
Fucking probably.
What's the last thing you did that would anger a deity?
That's
an
important
question for all of us to ask ourselves at all times.
That's actually a really good question. Oh, that's like a good icebreaker.
Is that a good question?
I think it is.
What's the last thing you did to anger the gods?
Yeah.
Have you spent much time in Boston, or is this your first time spending a lot of time there?
So I, one time when I was in college, I worked at an ad agency out here called Mullen for like a summer internship. So I lived in this little town called Beverly and worked in this agency, and it was cool. It was a lot of fun.
You know,
it was
like
a really beautiful summer. I liked it enough to be here for a summer.
That's not exactly high praise. I liked it enough to be here for an internship.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I think that at that age, there was just, like, still so much of the world and of America that I hadn't seen that I was just like, I don't know, it's not home. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I had a very low bar.
Nice. You know, it's nice to have a low bar. I think that's underrated these days.
Yeah.
Not
hey, what's up with you?
Oh, what's up with me?
Did you get a wedding venue?
Well, I think we figured out the wedding venue. We're waiting to sign contracts, so that's good. Once that's figured out, we can do all the fun stuff, the fun, easy stuff, like invitations and flowers and whatever. The stuff you just have to, like, call people and make it happen, as opposed to, like, trying to coordinate this, you know, problem of multiple dates and trying to find dates work for everybody, and that was annoying. But that's pretty much done. So yeah.
Good.
The thing that's new in my life, Linda, is that I currently have a big mustache.
I saw on Instagram.
I am genuinely non-ironically trying it. I mean, background, I think you know this. I grow a beard every winter, at least I have for the past four winters.
Because you get a big old beard. It's like a lumberjack.
Well, because at some point I decided,
a bear beard.
At some point, Well, yeah, I mean, it's a typical, like, you know, hipster that works on the internet in 2017 beard is what it was. But
right.
I decided at some point that I couldn't make the call of whether or not I was a beard person or not. Like, it's just too much pressure to decide which end of the spectrum I fell onto. And so I just decided that I'd like to have it be part of the seasons. Winter, I'll have a beard. Spring, I'll shave it off. Summer, I'll be, you know, clean shaven. Which I really liked, because I also really like the seasons, and I like rituals, and I like having, like, a thing to look forward to. So it was really nice to me to be like, ooh, the first, like, warm weekend is when I'm going to shave. And then, you know, just as your beard growing through winter is, like, kind of an interesting measure of how deep into winter you are. I don't know. I like all those weird things about it. But this time, for some reason, I don't know why. I think I got it in my head that maybe my head and face is old enough to pull off a mustache now.
Ooh,
and so I like, decided to give it a shot, and I gotta be honest, I'm really liking it. I feel like it works on me.
Yeah, I like that logic too.
That my face is old enough to do it?
Yeah. Like, there is an age that a mustache just looks like, come on, kid.
Yeah, I mean, even if you are, like, have the genetic predisposition to grow, like, a full bushy mustache at the age of, like, 16... Like, no 16-year-old looks good with a mustache. I can't explain why. It's just like, you know, when your skin is all young and unwrinkly and, like, you know, you just can't slap a mustache on that. It doesn't work.
Yeah, your skin needs to have, like, a little grit, you know?
Yeah, you need even more texture to your whole face. Yeah. And you need a little bit of sadness in your eyes from how much you've lived, too. I think you need a little bit of that to make it work. The sort of naivete in a teenager's eyes does not behoove a
I'm about to walk by some yelling.
Do it. I'm about to walk by some yelling.
I just walked by what appeared to be a man being thrown out of the Boston Public Library at 9 o'clock at night.
Oh.
And a police officer. But they're having, like, friendly banter. Like, he was kind of like, I'll see you tomorrow. It was that kind
of
thing.
You know, a guy who's getting thrown out of the library at 9 p.m. on a Tuesday, probably not having the best time, so.
Well, I think it was closing, so.
Was he being thrown out then, or just asked to leave because it was closing?
Just asked to leave,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
More like a, hey, we'll see you tomorrow, buddy. Okay, anyways, back to the mustache stuff. So, wait, you know that my partner has a mustache, right?
Like, well, yeah. Colin. So I saw Bay. I saw Colin, and he was rocking a nice mustache.
Did he inspire you?
I'll be honest. Colin was not part of my inspiration. My inspiration was mainly a character from a video game that Hillary is playing.
Wow.
In, like, a little 16-bit character. So I have to confess. I don't have, like, body image issues. Like, I think I'm like a fine enough looking person, whatever. I don't have hangups about that generally. There's, like, things about myself I don't like, as same with all of us. Like, I wish my teeth were straighter or whatever. But I've always felt that I just overall have just, like, a boring vibe. Like, it's just nothing notable about me. Like, I'm a little taller than average, I guess, but, like, beyond that, it's just, like, brown hair, white guy, no glasses, you know. Nothing else to recommend me. So
you were just an able-bodied white male, and you're like, where's my thing?
Where is my parade? Where is it? Well, so for that reason, I'm never the kind of person that could actually get a tattoo, because I overthink things too much, and I would, like, sink myself into a little hole and never make it happen. But I've always thought that if I had it in me to get a tattoo, that would be enough to, like, give me some, like, you know, some kind of, like, lower arm tattoo or something. It'd be enough to, like, at least I've got something that, like, if you have your index card in your brain, you're like, that guy's got the tattoo in his arms. That guy, you know?
Right.
But I never had any of that stuff. So I will confess that part of the reason I'm drawn to the mustache is because I feel like it's the thing that can, like, separate me a little bit from the crowd, you know? Which is nice.
Well, I think it looks great. I want to see it in person. I want to see that thing in action, you know?
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. But here's the thing. I'm not sure you're going to get to see it in person, because there are problems. There are problems, Linda.
Such as?
Well, there's really just one problem.
Okay.
So in all my social circles, you know, all my friends, my immediate family, like, no one's got a mustache. It's not a thing that's in my life in general. So I can kind of, like, stake out that ground. With one big exception, and that exception is Hillary's dad. Who has had a mustache since long before I was born. Ooh. Yeah.
She must not be into that.
Well, so she originally was like, I'm not, before I was talking to her about it, in theory, I was like, hey, see this beard I got? What if I only shaved it halfway off? How would we feel about that? I was floating some options. And at first she was like, no, I can't, don't think I can do that. And then when I did shave it off, just to try it, she actually liked it quite a bit. And you know,
okay.
You know, I'm sure Freud could have a fucking field day with my newfound desire, now engaged to Hillary to like have a mustache and her not like immediately rejecting it. But yeah, I feel like it's just too weird. Like I genuinely don't know if I like could confront him and like walk up to him with a mustache and be like, hey,
you'd feel like you're looking in a mirror.
Well, we're like, totally different. Like me. We are such different people. In every way, like really in almost every way. But man, I just, it feels too weird to me, I think, to actually confront him. Everywhere else, I'm fine. Like I saw Hillary's mom this weekend and she made a crack about how she knows someone else with a mustache. I'm like, yeah. I know he's got one, whatever. But yeah, him himself, I just don't know. I feel like it's strange. And I'm like deeply conflicted because like, it's, you know, it's, I feel like it's a big deal to change a thing about the way you look outwardly to the world, even like a simple thing like this. And so I feel torn because I feel good about it. Like I made the change. And I'm like, yeah, this feels like this could work for me. But then I feel like I can't keep it because weird. What would you do, Linda?
Yeah, that's like girls in their hair. I don't know. You just got to like try it for a little while, you know, see how it feels. And I think it's really nice that you're like including your partner in on the conversation. I think a lot of people do that. But, like, with Colin, I realized that when we, like, first started dating and people were like, I want to see this guy you're dating, I would, like, look through the pictures that I had of him, and there was this one time that he had a mustache, and so I always showed that picture. Like, I don't know why, but that was, like, the Colin that I was, like, most excited to show off.
You were like, doing it, like, non-ironically. You weren't doing it as a joke. You were,
no.
That was
no,
the one
no.
you genuinely wanted to show.
Like, I genuinely was like, because he's got this, like, little dimple chin and stuff. And, so I always showed that one. And then I realized that. And I told him that. And he's had a mustache ever since.
Well, there you go. Well, it's a weird thing, right? Because, you know, for example, if Hillary, like, wanted my opinion on something about her body, I would generally be like, look, do whatever you want. Like, you know. I want you to feel happy and, you know, whatever. So there's a weird line there between, like, you know, I should be able to have the facial hair that I feel most reflects my inner self, and you should like it because it's the thing that reflects me most. But yeah, no, I'd like to include her in it. Especially,
no, this is true.
Especially when it's like, hey, I would like to adopt the facial hair that your dad has had for your entire life. How does that sound to you? Weird enough?
Well, this is true, but I also feel like men and women have had different, like, beauty standards placed on them through their lives.
Yes.
Not that men haven't had them at all, but you know.
Definitely, it's like definitely different standards for sure.
A little bit more sensitive to be like, you know, I really wish your ass was just like a little bigger.
Yeah. That definitely has a different vibe to it, right?
Yeah.
Feels a little different.
Yeah, I noticed you've been not doing squats lately. What if you did?
I can't count those abs. But yeah, I'm conflicted about it. Also, so I have a question for you. Did you, when you were growing up, did you ever make like a dramatic change to your outward representation of yourself?
Kind of. I was just thinking about this the other day because I was talking to a girl about people like us who grew up in states and cities where like gayness was completely unacceptable. And so, like, if you were, like, just even, like, the slightest bit queer or bi, you just, like, ignored those urges. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking back in all these, like, pictures of myself where I'm just, like, dressed like a skater boy, but, like, the girl version of that.
The girl version of skater boy.
Yeah. So I would, like, go to the thrift store and, like, shop for, like, ironic t-shirts and put, like, punk patches on my jackets and like I mean I dressed like a boy pretty much, but I would wear like,
I mean, that's an,
you know,
archetype, right?
Jeans.
Like the tomboy or whatever is definitely an archetype of kid, of like girl growing up.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And so I was like that person, So I think that's like the weirdest I would get was that I would like dye my hair platinum blonde and then I would let everybody in school color it with like Sharpies.
That's pretty out there, Lisa. So.
And I felt good because I'm just like a people pleaser. So I felt like I was giving everyone an activity. Everyone's getting in touch with their creative side. I was, but that was it. Because of my conservative upbringing, not a lot was allowed. I was actually surprised that my parents were okay with that.
I was going to ask, what was their reaction to that?
They just kind of like rolled their eyes at me and like laughed it off. I think that they got it, that if that's the worst thing that your kid is doing, like, you're doing okay.
Yeah. Because the reason I asked is because I never did anything even remotely on this spectrum of, like, you know, I dressed boringly all through grade school, and I had, like, the same three haircuts forever. I've never once dyed my hair to this day. Like, the furthest I got is, like, you know, you probably remember this era when everybody, for me, it was, like, probably seventh grade, maybe it was a little bit younger for you, where everyone, all the boys would gel their hair into this like wave in the front.
Oh god, you know? the front wave,
you know, where it was like up from the forehead and then flat on top, and it came to this like weird,
and you'd use so much hair gel spike. That we used to ride our little tech decks on people's hair waves,
exactly.
Because they were so hardened with hair gel that you could use it as like a ramp.
Well, I remember it being this weird like I don't know. It was definitely very, like, tribal. Like, whoever had the tallest, sharpest, hardest wave was, like, the alpha male in seventh grade.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
Oh, my God.
You know, some deep primal instincts there. But so, yeah, like, I did that or whatever. But, like, I never, like, you know, departed from the norm or acted out from what other people were doing. I was just, like, dressed like normal people my entire life. And my parents were always extremely permissive, which is easy to say, I guess, when you didn't really have any drive to, like, do anything out of the ordinary. But you know, like, my parents were never conservative in that sense about anything. Like, I could do stuff if I wanted to. My mom got mad when I would like cut holes in my jeans, but that's, you know, it's a rite of growing up, I think, for a young boy to cut holes in his jeans and have his mom get mad, and then to pretend that you fell down at recess, and she's like, you clearly did not fall down at recess and cut and get six holes in your jeans in one day in all these different spots. But there was this one time where I had basically like two haircuts growing up, and my one haircut was like buzzed, just, you know, buzzed short, you know, not always down really low, but like just kind of a normal, like, bulbous looking buzz cut. And then for a while I had like longer hair, like, you know, kind of swoopy, like emo hair pretty much.
The little mop top.
Yeah. Like a little mop top kind of thing. And there was one time, it's probably like middle school, maybe early high school, more middle school though. It was definitely before I could drive on my own, where I decided I wanted to go from my, like, longer hair, like, back down to short. I was like, I just want to buzz it right off, which in previous, you know, times when I had gone between the haircuts, it had been kind of a gradual process. But I was just feeling like, I want to change. I want to, like, get rid of this stuff and buzz it down. And I remember very distinctly that my dad would not let me do it. He was like, no, you can't.
Really?
He was like, you can't change your hair that dramatically in such a short period of time. You'll look like a lunatic. Like, you'll look like you've come unhinged. And it's so visceral in my memory, because like I didn't push back hard against it because I was kind of like caught off guard, and he didn't like yell and like fly off the handle or whatever, but he did not drive me to get my hair cut, and he was like, no, you're not doing that. So
like he was giving you some like hard life advice.
I don't know. And like, you know, culturally my dad is very conservative in the sense that, like, you know, he's not exposed to the kinds of like art and media that I would be exposed to when I went to art school in Baltimore a few years later. But, you know, he's not like a draconian, you know, kind of control person, at least with regards to me when I was growing up. And so it was like very strange for me, but I still definitely have like residual, that voice still pops up in my head where it's like, you can't just change your outward appearance suddenly because you'll look like you've somehow like changed internally too. And people will wonder what's different about you.
Well, whenever somebody does something like that, or like suddenly a girl gets like a pixie cut, or a guy like shaves their beard or whatever, I'm just like, oh, did you just go through a breakup?
Well, yeah, that's the same thing,
right? Okay?
Like assuming that someone's going through something big when their outward appearance changes.
Right.
It makes sense, right? That's why the reason these things are important to us is because they do represent something about how we feel inside. And so Like, of course, people would have some kind of feeling like, oh, you must have changed internally because your external thing changed, which...
Exactly.
I don't know. I try to be self-aware. Maybe I have changed somehow that now I want a mustache. I think it's just that my face got old, but it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Hard to say.
And it's funny how, like, less sensitive I am to those changes as I get older. Like, when you're younger, like, those little things matter so much. And, like, you're devastated by every little pimple. And now I just don't care about anything. Yeah. So nice.
Yeah, I've actually probably gotten a little more vain as I've gotten older, if only because I truly did not care about my outward appearance really at all when I was a kid. I was, like, stereotypical, unconcerned with... I mean, I shouldn't say that completely, but I definitely, like, when I got to college, became much more concerned with my outward expression because, I mean, frankly, in high school, I went to, like, a normal public high school in, like, a suburb. I was never around people that were outwardly expressing anything other than, I am a jock, I am a rich kid,
right.
You know, there's no nuance to it. And then all of a sudden I got to art school and it's like, well, there's a crust punk and there's a freegan and, you know, there's all these other like subcultures I wasn't aware of and they're wearing them on their sleeves. And it's like all of a sudden, you know, it didn't feel clicky, but it felt like, oh, like everyone here, like I am now the most vanilla boring person. All of a sudden I had so much more like slack to work with. I had so much more slack to work with while still being comparatively like tame on the overall sort of spectrum of how I presented outwardly. But yeah.
I'll never forget this girl that was in my, there's a girl in my art college who showed up to orientation in like a long red dress and she had like long blonde hair and she was just like this like gorgeous, like she looks like she could have been like a ballroom dancer or something, you know, like she was always just
this is like on movie
dressed
day?
To the nines. Or it was like an orientation. So we had like a special like dinner with our new teachers and stuff and like, it was a fancy event, but, like...
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so she, and then she always
dressed very
nice. Orientation
was not a fancy event.
Ours was in the High Museum in Atlanta, and it was, like, a really wonderful little thing. I actually was really happy about it. But, anyway, so she was always dressed like that, and then, like, within a month of college, she, like, shaved her head completely down to the bone and, like, was wearing combat boots all the time, and, like, I don't know, she, like, got... She figured out what her little subculture was, just like you were talking about.
Yeah, and you know, I feel like you can't help but see that and think, like, is that person in some small way unraveling, like, to have such a dramatic change in such a short period of time?
And I was also jealous that she had the ball to do that. Like, I didn't.
Orientation at Micah was very different. I don't know if they still do this. It's been a long time since I was part of it, obviously. Although I did run it for a couple years when I was an upperclassman. Ends with a sexy bingo game. so like the orientation is like a 4-day thing and you know every night's kind of some kind of a party, right? There's like a dance party thing and it's all just social events to get people to meet each other, but they're kind of like ramping up in like intensity and you know whatever. It's all well within the sort of oversight of the like administration. It's nothing crazy. But then last night on the calendar it just says bingo night. And so everyone was supposed to be like, oh, man, these parties are ramping up, and now it's just like a boring bingo game. And the way the night starts is it just starts as a boring bingo game, and someone's out there reading numbers, and people are playing bingo. And then like 15, 20 minutes in, after a couple of bingos have been gotten, all of the orientation leaders run out in basically no clothes, you know, as scantily clad as they can manage.
Wow.
With the sort of paint daubies for bingo, and just start daubing all the kids on their faces and bodies and clothes and then it devolves into a dance party where everyone gets covered in paint and grinds on each other, basically. And that's how you get introduced to art school.
That sounds so sexy.
It's not really in hindsight, but when you're a horn dog teen coming out of high school, any excuse to get dad with a bingo paint stick is a good thing.
That's like the cutest thing ever.
It was very something. But the period of my life where I spent the most money on clothes and was most concerned about my outward appearance was probably right after graduating college because, you know, we went and started a company immediately and I definitely had this, like profound feeling that we were like a kind of an imposter syndrome where I felt like we had to present ourselves as adults to these other people to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
And I definitely worked really hard.
I just felt that last week at my leadership retreat. So.
Yeah.
I still feel like that.
Did you think very hard about the clothes you were going to wear and what you packed in your suitcase?
It wasn't until it was too late and I was sitting in a room with those people, and they looked a lot nicer than me.
And you're in like an Adventure Time t-shirt or whatever.
Yeah, my hair is platinum blonde, and it's got Sharpie.
And you're
in
like,
it.
Here, take this pink Sharpie. Express yourself.
Team building, it's fun. Okay,
yeah,
so anyways.
For that few years, I spent a lot of like time and money, like basically building out a wardrobe because I wanted to be perceived as like a serious grown-up adult. And felt like that was an important thing to present to people we were working with. And I feel that less now, but I have the wardrobe still. So, I always think,
yeah, you don't have to think about it.
I feel like a lot of my hobbies manifest in like a shortish period of like deep research and investment. And the result is like this kind of thing I can then have as like a totem of that investment, even though I'm no longer interested in it. Like, I don't think I've bought clothes for myself in like 3 or 4 years, but I still have all these like nice clothes that I like carefully researched and like a balanced wardrobe or whatever. So people are always like, "Oh, you're so well dressed," and I'm like, "Cool, thanks." Bought all these clothes in 2013, basically.
Yeah, and then I forgot about it.
And then I don't care about it anymore, so I don't really think about it.
Exactly.
Mm.
Another thing that's kind of harder as a lady.
Yeah, okay, more expected to have a variable wardrobe than a man, I imagine. We can get away with staples.
Wait. So have you taken the mustache out on the town yet?
Oh, I mean, or yeah. Like... I mean, I shaved it on Saturday morning.
Saturday, okay. Okay, so you've had
Tuesday.
Like 2 full days of being out and, yeah.
I've been to work. Nice. I've been out in the neighborhood.
I imagine you with this new mustache the way I would feel in like 6-inch stilettos.
I mean, basically, like, I'm very self-conscious of it at first, but I feel like it fits me. I don't know.
Just like, are people looking at me? Do they notice? They're looking at it. They're looking at the mustache, aren't they?
Well, it's funny how
are.
Few people have actually mentioned it. Like, a lot of our neighbors haven't even mentioned it, and I'm like, well, you just, obviously, I'm way overthinking everything, as always, because you didn't even think to say anything, which is fine, obviously. I mean, you can say whatever you want, but it's just evidence of the fact that I'm too deep in the game.
You're in too deep. Hey, Annie, when's the last time you were in Boston?
I was last in Boston, I'm going to say 3 years ago. I've only really been once. Mm. I've driven through Boston a number of times because I've driven up and down the East Coast a few times, and that involves going through Boston. But no, I went to visit, Hillary and I went to visit a friend of ours. So it was a friend of mine here that was originally in a long-distance relationship with somebody who was living in Boston, and she's since moved to Baltimore, and they've gotten married. But when they were dating each other, we were, you know, friendly, and so the three of us went up to visit her for the weekend, and spent a weekend in Boston hanging out and cooking, basically. We didn't really. I mean, we went to like a great Chinese restaurant, which I know is a highlight of Boston. At least, you know,
just walked by a few of those. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Coming from Baltimore, that's like the one thing, as far as East Coast cities, that Baltimore does not have. We do not have a big like East Asian population, so there's not like a really good Chinese restaurant in the entire city. There's nowhere you can get soup dumplings. There's one really good Thai place, but it's like only one. So it's like we don't have that piece of what like New York and DC and Boston have. So that's always a highlight, is going to one of those places. But no, I mostly walked around and cooked and ate at Chinese food places. It seemed like a nice
city. I'm standing in the middle of the Boston Commons right now. And I'm, like, looking up at the Capitol building, and it's all pretty.
Very picturesque.
It is. I just took a picture of a Union soldier, so.
Did you go back in
that
time?
Got going for me. It was a statue of one. It wasn't a real one.
Were there any battles fought in Boston? I don't think they fought.
Wouldn't
that
be amazing? I don't know. It looks like a Union soldier, though. Wouldn't it be amazing if it turned out that these phone calls are unlocking portals that I walk through back in time, and like
it becomes like a wishbone situation?
Yes, like I think back on my walks, and I'm like, wait a minute,
where you call me and you're like, Andy, tell me about the French Revolution, and then shortly afterwards you're like dodging cannonballs and riding on horseback.
Yeah, but they're like very cute cannonballs. Like, I'm never in any real danger. It's just
okay,
like,
okay, good
danger.
Clacking yeah. Cute cannonballs,
puppy danger, right? So many Dunkin' Donuts and 7-Elevens. Like, there's this beautiful old building that I'm staring at, just like this really old architecture. I don't even know how to describe it. But it's just like brick, and it has like these like old fancy shutters on the windows, and then just like a big glowing 7-Eleven sign smacked up in the middle of it.
Yeah, man. Get that slushy.
America.
Get that hot dog. It's a few days old, rolling on those little rollers.
Okay, so I have one work-related question before we get off the phone.
Oh, okay. Getting professional.
Well, it's just because it's like what I was doing all day long.
Sure. Whatever's on your
mind. I was trying to set up my Trello board for my team, and I was wondering what you use at your company to manage projects and stuff.
The number one productivity podcast on the App Store. Andy and Linda discuss your best productivity power streams.
I'm not trying to make it like a thing. No, I'm making fun of you.
I know.
Genuinely.
So we've used almost everything over the years, partially because we've like tried a bunch of things, and also partially
because...
You tried
all the like 37 signal stuff at one point, right? Like
basically. Yeah. I haven't been on that in a long time. Like, I don't think I ever actually... Well, no, that's not true. So the reason we've tried a bunch of stuff is because we work with a lot of clients that have some sort of system in place, and we're just expected to kind of like slot into it. So in addition to like trying things by choice, I've also like been forced into other things. The thing we use for most of our actual project management now is just GitHub projects, which is basically a Trello board, but built into GitHub so it can reference pull requests and, reference GitHub issues. And it's kind of all connected with one thing. And the main reason we use that is because, you know, we ask our clients to like, we try and set our clients up to be like totally self-sustaining so that if we disappeared, they wouldn't have like stuff they couldn't have access to or like things that were lost. And so we ask them to like pay for the project management software or whatever. And it's nice that GitHub projects is just something that comes with GitHub, and they're already paying for a GitHub account to host the code. So we don't have to ask them to sign up for a separate thing. And it is basically just a Trello board, pretty much.
Got it.
Yeah. You can set it up.
Okay.
You can set it up in the Kanban style, which is the typical like icebox to-do, doing, and complete, as that's the sort of Kanban methodology. Or you can like name the columns whatever you want, just like Trello, and do whatever you want with the cards. You can set up things to be automated too. So it has a little bit of like Pivotal Tracker vibe. You ever use Pivotal Tracker?
No.
Pivotal Tracker is it's like Trello on steroids, basically. It is specifically for like product development. So it has a lot of like automated stuff to make things easier and automatically project how much you're going to get done this week based on the relative difficulty you've assigned certain tasks and to make sure you stay on schedule.
Oh, nay!
Which that stuff is very good if and only if you are working on a project consistently and a lot. It is not good when you have a client where every couple months you jump in and you change something or fix something or update something.
Fixing up the website.
Then all that like automated that stuff just gets completely out of whack and doesn't make any sense and it's just in the way. We've used that before. That was the thing. That was previously what we preferred, which we had evolved from Trello to Pivotal Tracker, and now we are on GitHub Projects as our recommended project management system.
Awesome. All right, that's it. That's all the work talk I'm gonna do.
We have to end on something fun though. We can't end on a recommendation of project.
We will. Software. What other fun things, man? It's been a crazy couple of weeks for me.
Yeah, and, you've been all over. Well, I mean, you say it's been a crazy couple of weeks for you. My impression is that your life is basically always like this, which I don't know if that's true or not, but that's definitely the impression I get.
I think it is, but every week I just go, man, things are really crazy right now.
And you've been doing that for 9 years.
For 9 straight years.
Every week.
I tend to crave change, and when I don't feel like this, I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Why am I comfortable? And so then I like mix everything up, not the best. But yeah, so I was in Portland and then now Boston and before that Boulder. But in between that, I've been doing my comedy classes when I'm back in New York at UCB and at the Magnet Theater. Mm-hmm. And so my assignment this week is I have to figure out a celebrity impression.
Oh, this is the best way possible to end, Linda. You have to give us your candidate celebrity impressions. Come on.
Well, okay, so far I'm stuck between Diane Keaton and Zooey Deschanel.
Okay, so I actually, embarrassingly, have no idea what Diane Keaton sounds like. I can't even like place her face when you say that.
She's a famous actress. Well, she's like, she's Annie Hall. She's
Annie Hall. Sure.
And So yeah, Annie Hall, because she's very like aloof and like, ah. And I haven't even like started practicing like how I'm going to do it yet. So
these
maybe
both,
next week
these
I'll have
very subtle impressions, I feel.
Yeah, but that's the thing about a good impression is I feel like you have to like find that thing about that person that is like unique to them. Like Zooey Deschanel, for instance, I can kind of sing like her. Like she kind of has this like honky, like old timey voice that
yeah.
she slips into
honky
when she's singing.
Honky is the best way to describe it. Yeah. Very honky.
Yeah. So it's all about like finding those things and just exaggerating the shit out of them and just kind of like making them like, if this person was like a 4-year old, like if you took all of their features and just like shrunk them down so they're as dense as they are, but they're in a child, like what would that little person be like? At least that's how I like to think about impressions.
Yeah.
Like my favorite is...
Are you saying you're not going to do one for us right now, though? I don't get to get a Zooey Deschanel or a Diana
No,
Keaton.
I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing for next week because
okay,
I
good.
Will have...
I'm going to hold you to
that. I will have practiced and hopefully I'll have something together by then. I have 2 nights alone in a hotel to talk to myself
that
in
is
the voice of either
place,
Diane Keaton
that's
or
the perfect
Zooey
place to learn an impression, alone in a hotel.
I know!
What else are you
going to
do? Well, don't answer that. But you should have maybe started with like an Oprah... Or an Aubrey Plaza, or somebody like really, you know, really.
Yeah,
more...
like, but I feel like that's the low hanging fruit. I don't want to
okay,
do that.
Okay,
you know?
Well,
I want to challenge myself.
Say it
again. I'm gonna regret this.
Shush. Hey, there's nobody at the door. You're freaking out. Oh.
But Sadie.
She barking.
But yeah, so between productivity tools and celebrity impressions, I got a busy week.